So the list goes on Fightful Select for August 19th. Jimmy, I need to use the restroom really bad. What do we got?
I'm going to stretch this out for 27 minutes.
You're going to be doing it without a co-host.
So when I heard this first one, I only thought of one person when I heard this one. I thought of Sean Ross Sapp.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, let's get Sean Ross Sapp's thoughts. So Bill Goldberg was on a podcast. He was on a podcast called The Pop Culture Show. And on that podcast, he said that his WWE contract is for 2 more years for 2 matches a year. He's exhausted his match limit for this year because of Mania.
Boy, has he exhausted my limits this year.
So he essentially has 4 matches left, 2 next year, the 2 after that. He's going to be 54 years old in December, meaning that if this deal goes to the end, he'll be 56 by the time it's done. Sean Ross Sapp, your thoughts?
This is a guy who pretends he has to go through a training camp to wrestle a 3-minute match. I had scrubs say, I don't know why people are mad at Bill Goldberg securing the bag. Why are you mad at him making money? I don't give a fuck how much money he makes. Pay him $1 billion for all I care. I don't give a shit. I don't own WWE stock. What I care about is when he pops up on the show, I see bad segments. I see it disrupt booking of other people who deserve better. And then he almost drops people on their head and kills them with his finisher that he can't do. You want to know what I liked? Dolph Ziggler versus Goldberg last year. I was there live and I adored it. It didn't disrupt shit. It was in the middle of a Miz-Dolph Ziggler feud and they fit it in and it was awesome. It ruled. And you know what? When people are, oh, but he puts people over. Well, he was going to put Roman Reigns over. They had to pivot. He put Brock Lesnar over. Duh. And he put The Undertaker over. Man, that one went real well. He can't be out there beating people like The Fiend. If you're doing it for a return match, then that's 50-50 booking. I'm not interested in seeing that. If you want to have Goldberg come out and absolutely devour a couple guys next year, sure. I don't need it in the title picture.
Yeah, no, I'm in the camp that doesn't blame Bill Goldberg. I'm in the camp that's – no, like, it's, obviously, you got to question Vince McMahon. You got to question WWE because why would you put him on television where he could potentially injure somebody, where he is 54 years old, where he does get – what was the number we heard? 250 grand a match, and I think for Saudi he got like a mil.
Yeah. Hope he makes all the money in the world. More power to him.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess I also kind of question his drawing power now. I haven't really seen anything to tell me that he's got that kind of drawing power anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe they could prove me wrong, but I agree. If he's utilized correctly, the second match with Brock at Mania, I really liked that match.
I loved that match.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of that was credit to Brock Lesnar too. But I really liked that match. But I agree, when you look at Fiend, when you look at Taker, they didn't benefit anyone. And
Neither of the matches needed the title. Goldberg has never needed the title. I believe that Goldberg and Brock Lesnar are competitive with each other. So I don't need a title belt on the line. It does nothing but take away from other programs.
I agree. So Velveteen Dream is back in NXT. And Triple H spoke to CBS Sports, and I know that he was asked on the takeover call too, but he spoke to CBS Sports. They asked him about it, and this is a quote from Triple H. He said, "In the moment, all this other stuff happens, and you look into it, and you find that there's a situation that people bring to everyone's attention. You look into it, and you find that it is what it is, and there's nothing there. Everything that we have done, we're comfortable with him continuing to do what he does and everything else." Now, I'm sure that WWE looked into it because they're a public company and it's to their benefit that they do. However, all I got to say is I have not been part of any investigation, obviously, but all I have to say is I heard the audio clip. Sounded like him to me. That's all I can say about it. Have you heard any more? Because again, on the takeover call, he dismissed it as well and said,
"Did he ever dismiss it?"
Yeah.
Jason Powell, to his credit, asked him about it, and Triple H said they moved on, but they take it seriously. If there's something out there, they'll look into it. But he'd rather move on to different topics. I got to say, there were some funny retweets of that. People saying, "No, guys, you don't understand. This is true. WWE would rather move on to different topics."
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Get away from it if you can. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Guilty, innocent, whatever, they did not look into it to the level in which they should have, because one of the prime accusers said they didn't reach out to him. Mm-hmm. That's it. If they didn't reach out to him and try to find out what was going on, they did not do their job. They did mm-hmm. not do it well enough. Now, I'm not saying that Dream is guilty, that he's innocent, mm-hmm. Anything like that. What I'm saying is there was a ton of goddamn heat on him. A ton. I have never in my, there's one other person that I know that has had heat on them to that level, and that's just because they were an asshole, not because they did this stuff. But I've never experienced anybody with this level of heat on them. And the thing is, everybody knows that they would have been fired for any number of things that he would have been fired for. So there's a lot of frustration among NXT wrestlers and some WWE wrestlers, as we've seen with Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm.
And understandably so.
It comes off to me like they were afraid of what they might have found and they didn't want to have to cut them. That's how it comes off to me. So they decided they'd rather do as little as they can and move on because they just didn't want to potentially lose him.
Wrestlers thought he was getting fired last month when he had that rack. They thought he was gone.
AEW has reportedly parted ways with three talents, at least three that we know of, Sadie Gibbs, mm-hmm. Jimmy Havoc, and Bea Priestley. Now, what I want to say about this, and I know you have more information, but what I want to say about this is there were, again, some pro-WWE people, because you always got the two camps. There were some pro-WWE people that were critical saying, oh, I thought AEW wasn't going to cut anybody during COVID-19. This was not, from my understanding, COVID-related at all.
Yes.
This was, in Jimmy Havoc's case, he had obvious issues. In Bea Priestley's case, I think it was logistics because of where she's based. I don't know about CD Gibbs. You would know more. But these had nothing to do with cost cuts because of COVID.
This is a various things. Contracts coming up, Jimmy Havoc's situation, Bea Priestley being where she is, Sadie being where she is. She was about to move to Atlanta, from what I understand. But also, Sadie was she was one that a lot of people, including myself, was like, damn, they should sign her. Didn't quite realize how much work that she was going to need, and she still needed a lot of work in that regard. Also, there were some issues there upon her arrival. I think eventually Sadie Gibbs either finds her way back in AEW or ends up in WWE.
All right, now let's move on to Rusev. And you and I always talk about what an awesome, phenomenal human being and talent Rusev is. Miro now headed to Japan. He said so himself. So he was on Ryback's podcast, and they were talking about why Rusev wasn't allowed to show diversity in his personality in WWE, especially during the Rusev Day thing when it was starting to take off. Here's a couple quotes from Ryback that really kind of tell a story. So he said that he had been told, don't look at the people, don't smile. This is what he was told when Rusev Day was taken off. And here's a quote. I didn't understand. I had a conversation with Vince, and he told me that with Rusev Day, they were just mocking me. They didn't mean it. This is another quote from Rusev. I said, Vince, we've sold out all of our merchandise. What do you mean? The shirt is sold out. And Vince said, well, maybe they didn't make enough. They didn't make enough shirts. That's why it's sold out, not because we're doing good. This is a quote from Rusev. This, once again, exemplifies the problem of having a 75-year-old man in charge of creative of a product targeting the 18 to 49 demographic, especially when he historically has shown that if you are European, you are going to probably be a heel in his company, or he's not going to get behind you full bore. We saw it with Cesaro when Vince McMahon himself on Steve Austin's podcast said, well, maybe it's because he's Swiss, that he's not connecting. We see it with Rusev, who when the Rusev Day thing was taken off, they did not change his music. He still had that really heavy heel music. And they said, don't smile, don't look at the people. You are trying to get over with one person. Doesn't matter if you're over with the audience. You have to try to get over with one person. And that is the problem with WWE.
I don't know what more I can add there. Yeah, I completely agree. Rusev got hosed. Rusev should be a major star, and hopefully he still is somewhere. And I talked to one of the people that helps run his YouTube channel, and they're like, they send me clips of him reacting to stuff, and they're like, oh, am I sending you too much stuff? And I'm like, no, people love what he has to say because they know that he got hosed. They know this isn't like a sour grapes type of thing, and even then he's still pretty positive about everything.
Oh, he does seem very positive because I think he knows he's going to do all right.
Of course, and it's easy to be positive and optimistic when you know you're in a good position. He's in a good position. He's going to make a lot of money, and he deserves it.
I agree. Yep, I agree. Was SmackDown rated TV 14 last week because of Retribution?
I do not know. I reached out to WWE. I asked them, and I did not get an answer. But the thing is, those things are subjective. They don't. It's not like the MPAA or ESRB where they're assigned a rating. They decide the rating.
I figured Fox did because it's a taped show, and they probably had an idea about the content. So the only thing I can think of is they saw the Retribution angle and they thought we better, you know, up it up.
It's weird. It's weird because they can really do whatever they want.
Is Impact in cahoots with Ring of Honor now because EC3 is going to do some stuff with Ring of Honor?
EC3 doesn't have a contract there.
Okay,
there
you go.
He doesn't have a contract whatsoever. He wants to do his own stuff, and that's what he's doing. He made that very clear to me. The control your own narrative thing, that is very much like a real thing he wants to do. He wants to appear as many different places as he can and do whatever work that he wants to do after being restricted for so long. Because once you sign that dotted line, you're stuck.
Delirious is head booker again in Ring of Honor, taking the place of Marty Scurll. I know that Marty Scurll's on hiatus because of those accusations against him. My question is, and I don't know if this is something that you would have heard or not, is Delirious the head booker again solely because Marty Scurll's on hiatus, or were there issues with Marty Scurll as head booker, which is why Delirious is back in place?
From what I understand, it's because of the accusations, and that's why. And the door isn't necessarily closed on Marty returning as head booker.
Interesting. Okay. And I guess the last thing, Ring of Honor and MLW both have come out and talked about their COVID protocol that they're planning. Ring of Honor is going to be doing tapings this month. And they're going to be doing 3 rounds of nasal swab testing. And I heard that that sucks because I haven't done it.
Here. What do you get? What do you get?
Here they do nasal, but I haven't had to take a test.
Oh, okay.
But they do nasal swab testing here. So Ring of Honor, they're going to make you do 3 rounds. And the first one was 2 weeks before tapings, meaning that they've probably already done that one. Then there's going to be one 3 days before and then another one the day of. Then on top of that, they're doing temperature checks. They're doing mandatory face masks. They're doing social distancing. So they're I think, going above and beyond. And then MLW, who has not announced a return date yet, said that they're going to be doing saliva testing. They said that it was developed by Yale and supposedly has a 95% accuracy rate, supposedly. So they're trying. I mean, it sounds like both of them are doing more than WWE did 2-3 months ago.
Yeah, which is – the way that WWE handled this the first 3 months is horrifying.
Well, weren't there more positive tests just a week or two ago?
There's positive tests every time they go through there. I mean, that's just the way it is because people are out doing their own shit. They show up for tapings. Some of them get positive tests. I mean, that's not on WWE in that regard. That's on the individuals and people who aren't taking care of themselves.
Yeah, but I don't completely agree with that because WWE is their employer. They risk contaminating the rest of the locker room.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they do the drive-through testing and they're not there hanging out and shit. This is them coming back after a week, 2 weeks, whatever it might be, getting tested, and if they test positive, then they're not booked.
Right. Yeah, it's problematic. Like, imagine if, let's say that you're in a program with a top guy.
Yeah.
And you've started your program, and then you test positive. Like, not only do you have to now be away for a couple of weeks, but you could potentially contaminate the top guy, too. You know,
well, they don't let you on the show if you're testing positive.
No, I get that, but what if they caught it too late? What if you already had it before your
test? Do these before, like you don't get in the tapings without your negative test. Period.
Oh, okay, so they get the results fast enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they do. Okay, that's good. That's good because I saw MLW said that their saliva test apparently it's going to have a 30-minute result. Yeah. That's what they're planning. And I had never heard of one that quick before, that they could have it that fast.
Sure. Yeah.
So, all right, that's all I got for you, man.
Till next time, guys.